Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. We're going to continue to look at and take a deep dive into the teaching of St. John the Apostle that we've been doing over the last few weeks. I'm so grateful that the Church in her wisdom is taking us through this first letter to St. John, because John puts his finger so clearly on the central reality of what is given to us, what comes to us in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. As the Church walks through this octave of Christmas, celebrating, this last week celebrated the octave of Christmas and the reality of the fuller implication or the full implication of what it means to be united to the incarnate one, to be united to Jesus, and what his coming in the flesh has done for us. The love of God is so perfectly revealed. That's at the center of what John is talking about, is how much that real love, true love, is revealed in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who is love, defines love. Let's look at today's reading from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might have life through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an expiation for our sins." Another beautiful, just few sentences, really, that John gives to us that reveals so much about God and God's nature and why love is at the center of it all. Love is at the center of it all because God himself is love. Again, let's begin. John, "Beloved, let us love one another because love is of God." He knows that because, as he'll say later, we have seen that love. Love has appeared to us. Paul would say, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in his death is the ultimate revelation of the depth and the meaning of love, of God's love. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. So Jesus said in John's gospel that each person, everybody, had to be born again by water and the Spirit. That act by which we're saved, the cross of Jesus Christ, that act of love by which the world is saved, that one of us, the second Adam, Jesus, where Adam failed to stand, Jesus becomes the victor. He loves to the end. He loves in fullness to the end. He makes his life an offering of love for the sake of the salvation of the world. Love conquers all things, not just the love of Hollywood or the sentimental love. No, God's love. God's love conquers sin and death, the devil, darkness, and all that follows in that world. Love is stronger than death. The love of God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The love that was in Jesus' heart brought down the kingdom of the enemy. The total surrender of his life, the willingness to go all the way on the cross, to become obedient unto death, even death on a cross, the humility of Jesus. There's a key aspect, friends, of love and how love is expressed in the kingdom of God. It's the pride of man. It's the pride of the devil that says, "I will not serve," that poisons the human heart that then says, "I will not serve." And a deception over the human mind that says, well, the reason I'm not going to serve is because if I am in the place of service, I'm subject to a tyrant. I can't have what other people can have if I'm in the place of service. I want to be served, not to be a servant. I want to be served. And so the human heart is tied into the demonic battle and the demonic resistance against God. And Jesus turns it on its head. Jesus empties it of its power and its hold by humbling himself. So his first act is an act of humility, a condescension. He emptied himself. He came took on human flesh, the second person of the Trinity, so that the love of heaven could enter into the world and the human heart could be healed and all of creation could be renewed. But that comes about through humility, not by pride, not by self-exaltation. But it's opposite. And it took humility of Jesus to say, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done, O Lord. That's the pathway to ultimate freedom and total victory, eternal happiness. That's it. That's the pathway Jesus forged for us. There's the new humanity walking in the person of Jesus and everyone who follows him. So everyone who loves is begotten. We're born of God. We're born again. Born again by the Holy Spirit in baptism, who is the love of the Father and the Son, given to us, and now we become a dwelling place of the Spirit. And our faith assures us, our hope gives us great confidence where the Holy Spirit is leading us. But literally, friends, we've been born anew to a new life that's present in us, and this new life was in his Son. The central sentence here, I think it's so important, is God sent his only begotten Son. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. So many people, you know, the human race, we're constantly talking about love. It's in the vast majority of songs that are sung in one way or another. It's defined again and again, and it's on signs appearing all over the country, love is love, and every individual person defines love for themselves, and it's usually reduced to feeling or sentiment, something like that. Generally, it's understood to be nice. Love means you're nice. Bad people, you know, mean people don't love. Nice people love. That's the way it kind of gets reduced in the world and communicated. But God spoke in the fullness of time. He spoke through his Son to a world that was totally confused about what love is. And he said, Son, go speak to them. And Jesus is the Father's word to us about what love is. He said, look at my Son. He is love itself. How do you walk in love? Watch my Son. How do you speak in love? Watch my Son. How do you relate to God? How do you relate to your neighbor? How do you relate to yourself? Look at my Son. God defines love because God is love. There's an origin, friends. There's a starting place, you might say, of love, where love is. It's God himself. God is love, John tells us here. And this is how we know love. It's been revealed to us. So if my definition of love is not consistent with what has been revealed, but I don't accept what's revealed, I assert what love is. I define it. It originates in my mind, in my imagination, in my will. Then it's not love, it's false love. Because if it's not consistent with what God has revealed about love, friends, it's just not love at all. It's emotion and feeling at best. And we're made for real love, for true love. And say, where can it be found? How can I see? Where can I touch it? How can I understand it? God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might have life through him. That's what John says. That's where it's found, right there. The love of Christ is so powerful, it brings us from death to life. Every other definition of love, every other lifestyle that people are living in relationship to love, it doesn't give us life. It might give us some consolation here. It might give us some feelings we like here. It might give us certain affirmations from society in different ways. But in the end, it's going to die. In the end, it can't save you. Because it's part of a fallen world. A fallen pattern of life. A false definition, a deception. It's darkness posing as light. And John is saying, no, the light has come. And that light is the life of Christ. And this love gives life. This love gives eternal life. This love is, it proves itself in this. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Look what real love looks like. It's glorious. It radiates. It overcomes. It conquers. It's indestructible. It's undefeatable. It's characterized by joy and kindness and humility and freedom. That's authentic love. That's what John's pointing to. And he says, in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. So true love originates in the heart of God, in the heart of a loving Father who teaches us. What's revealed is God. And as Jesus said, only God is good. And love is what? It's the willing of the good. If we don't know God and the things of God and the commands of God and the life of God, it's impossible for us to fully will the good of the other. Because the good is not a feel. Again, it's not a feeling. It's not something I create. It's something we come to see and receive from God himself. So this is love, not that we love God. It didn't originate in us, but God loved us first, even while we were sinners. Keep that in mind. Is God's calling us to obey his commandments? Don't let the devil get under your skin and get you in the position of looking at your life as fundamentally being rejected by God because you fail or because you're battling against sin. He knows that. He knows who you are. While you were yet a sinner. Well, I was a sinner. I am a sinner. His love has come to me and it's transforming me. He just wants me to just keep saying yes. If I fall down, receive reconciliation and keep going. Trust him. Don't redefine love. Don't define it a different way so that it fits you and fits whatever lifestyle you want to choose for yourself or the place where you think you'll find happiness. The 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, love never rejoices in what's wrong. So it's not true love. It's not willing the good of the other. If someone chooses to behave in a way or to have a particular identity, lifestyle that's inconsistent with the Lord, it's not love for me to celebrate that and to rejoice in it. That's what God's word said. That's the battle that we're in. So the question is, do we trust God's word? Do we trust God? Or do we trust our own feelings? Or do we trust the affirmations of the world? This is the great test in this world. What did you love? Who did you follow? Did you receive God's will, God's revelation about what reality is, what life is for, who you are, why you're here, where you're going, and ultimately what love really is? St. Augustine, as I mentioned on the program a number of times, you know, he said that civilizations fail because men fail. And where men fail, men and women fail, is they fail to love the right thing. They come to love the wrong thing. And as a result, civilizations themselves and communities of people and whole societies corrupt and fall. That same dynamic is happening in our own culture today in many ways. The solution is to turn back to God. The solution is to say, Lord, you tell us it's not working, Lord. It's not working. Help us, Lord, and go all in with him, and he'll renew his people. He'll renew the church. He'll renew the country. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.